The recently concluded runoffs were among the most expensive campaigns in history. Georgians were treated, or perhaps subjected daily, to text, calls, ads, and mailers about the candidates. But does all that spending make a difference? WUGA's Gene Davis filed this report.
The Georgia contest that took place earlier this week and ultimately flipped party control of the Senate to the Democrats were the most expensive Senate races in U.S. history, with the race between Ossoff and Perdue costing $470 million between candidates and outside groups. The Warnock and Loeffler race earned the silver for most expensive Senate race, with the most recent spending report at $363 million. Both of these numbers will increase once the campaigns file post-election spending reports with the Federal Elections Commission. For many Georgians, this meant tolerating unusual amounts of political mailers, phone calls, door knockers, and TV ads.
Did you know Kelly Loeffler was ranked the most conservative senator in America?
Yep, she's more conservative than Attila the Hun.
My roommate and I received over 50 pieces of runoff-related mail between December 13th, when I started saving them, and January 5th. I reached out to Ansley Mendelson, a communications consultant for Convergence Targeted Communications, where she works primarily on direct mail, to get a sense of the efficacy behind these different measures. First, how do we know whether things like mailers and TV ads really get voters to the polls?
It's hard to research political campaigns scientifically because you have to have a control group, which is, you know, not an ideal setting for a candidate because you obviously want to be talking to a lot of people. So a lot of our research comes from outside spending where we can more easily isolate people in a control group and experiment with variables. We do know from this research that kind of there are tiers of efficiency with voter communication, you know, door-to-door contact, a one-on-one conversation with a friend or a family member is obviously the most effective. And then it kind of goes down the list.
She says that TV ads are one of the less effective mechanisms for persuading voters because by nature of being broadcast, they aren't targeted as opposed to direct mail and digital advertising. Companies like hers can take the voter rolls and target voters based on different criteria and send out messaging they think will work. And at the end of the day, they can go back to the voter rolls and see exactly how many people on their list ended up voting.
So what we do is we select a universe that we think is going to resonate with the message that we're putting out. And we use a number of criteria to do that. We, you know, look at voter history, and we also use different criteria, you know, age, gender, race and some factors to try to figure out who are the best people to, you know, put together this universe and make it the most efficient way to get out the vote.
Often, the messages they arrive at are driven by polling. Campaigns or outside groups will work with a pollster, a person who conducts or analyzes opinion polls, and talk about different messages, then see which ones work best.
Most voters don't wake up every day thinking about politics. They've got jobs, they've got kids, they've got bills, they've got all kinds of things that they're thinking about that's not politics. And for someone who, you know, whose job is to do politics, it's very important for us to detach ourselves from that and make sure that we are meeting voters where they are and giving them messages that are directly related to their life. I think one of the things that was really successful with the Democrats who were running this time is there was a tangible benefit to voting for John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. They wanted to give you a $2,000 check, and they were going to make sure that COVID relief happened.
For Athens News Matters, I'm Gene Davis.